Thank you guys for joining us for our April 2019 Leader Equipping Podcast. Today, we'll continue with our theme for this year, which is spiritual formation, and it's based on the passage in which really this whole podcast has been designed around, and that's 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. I want to read it again for us because I just don't want it to get lost. It's so foundational to us as a church and to where we are and to our groups and to even us as individuals that I just don't want it to get lost. So let me read it again for us. 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. All of the previous podcasts that we've done have been really built on this passage, and we believe it's where, like I said, where the Lord is leading us as a church and hopefully you guys as leaders, because you are so vital in equipping our faith family and helping us to weave these truths into the fabric of our church. This month, we're going to focus on our upcoming message series called Awakening. It'll start on Sunday, and more importantly, what we believe God is inviting us into during this season, which is really just a season of prayer and fasting. As we've mentioned this a few times in our gatherings, we've had some folks ask what we are praying for and why fasting is included in this season of prayer. And the simple answer is we're praying for continued awakening. We're praying a single prayer: God, begin a great awakening, first in us, then in our church and in our neighborhood and the nations. We are praying to see and experience God in the things that only God can do, and we're praying for the effects of God's grace and love to continue to be revealed to us. We're praying for a move of God that is so vast and glorious and captivating that dry bones might actually be raised to life. We believe that. We believe the Ezekiel passage when it says, "Son of man, do you think these dry bones can live?" Yes, yes, we believe that. So as group leaders, we think it's really important that we help to clarify what we're about to walk into in this season. And we want to answer some questions about awakening. What is it? What is it not? How does it affect me? How does it affect my group? And it'll probably cause us to press into what we believe about prayer. Does prayer matter? Does it work? Fasting, why do we need to fast? Where is that in Scripture? Why is that important? We'll talk about these kinds of things in this podcast. So let's start by clarifying what we mean when we talk about awakening. And maybe we'll start with this, with what it is and maybe even what it's not. So I've got Heather Kahn up here with me. And of course, Heather and Craig will flesh this out a little bit more on Sunday. But Heather, when you think about awakening, what comes to mind? What goes on inside of you when you think about awakening or when you've experienced awakening?
Yeah, thank you, Brent. It's great to be here and to be here just kind of processing out this topic. I'm really excited and expectant for our body and for us as we continue to walk through this season. As you were just reading that verse, in which we continue to base this on in 2 Corinthians. When I think about awakening, I think of that when that verse was read. The veil is taken away. I think of more of that, of more of the realization of the true presence of God with me, around me, learning to live more and more with the realization that literally we are dwelling in his presence every day, having more and more knowledge of that. And as that verse says, to continue to be transformed in it. I'd mentioned to you beforehand that this idea, this thought, this way, which God calls us deeper to of awakening, I sense over the past, honestly, 2 years, that the Lord has continued to awaken within me, that there's just been seeds that have been laid dormant for years, and that the Lord has just continued to awaken and still is awakening. And so I just told you that this is really, it's just really deep, and it's really tender for me right now, even thinking about it as we move through it, and with great expectation and desire for others just to understand more as we continue to pray and lead towards it. For certain, may it begin in me, and it has, I will say.
Yes. Yeah, and you're not alone in that. I know we've been talking about it for a while, certainly all of this year, but I mean, I've been experiencing it. I keep telling people I've grown more in the last 5 years than I have in the last 35 years of my journey. And I've probably grown more in the last 6 months than I have the last 40 years.
For sure.
Because the Lord is doing something. He's stirring. He's awakening. He's dry bones are coming to life. Seeds are dying and now birthing forth life. As that verse says, the Second Corinthians verse, with ever-increasing glory. Like, it continues to happen. He continues to grow us, to transform us. One of the verses that we point to often is Ephesians 4, and it talks about equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. But in verse 13, it says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I think about when I think about awakening, is that we're kind of in this together, and we're in this, we're hoping to have unity in the faith and the knowledge of Christ, becoming mature to the fullness of Christ, to the full measure of Christ.
Mm-hmm. When I think of that too, about just the hope for unity in faith, I think that human have a desire. I think we have a desire in us for righteousness. Mm-hmm. And until we are firm in fully living out the full righteousness of Christ alone, I think we continue to seek righteousness in others or in things or jobs or spaces or community, but coming more and more to the realization that there is no thing that will do or will satisfy us except for the fullest satisfaction in Christ alone.
No person
can do this for me. Yeah. No thing. There's nothing except for Christ alone. And so that has taken a dying to me and to all of the things that I had imagined or thought or hoped or thought that were the right dreams. Just turning the gaze back to, as that verse says, just to turn back to the Lord with an unveiled face. And there we experience Spirit and holiness and more wholeness on the journey here.
Yeah, it's when we were preparing for this podcast, we were talking about how it's really hard to explain. But when you're living in it, you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm experiencing that. I'm experiencing awakening. What does it look like or felt like when you're living in it, when you're experiencing it?
Well, I'll say honestly, when I'm living in it, like I said, that I think started about a couple years ago, and then today, even today, as I'm living in it, I wouldn't say, Brent, that I had yes, this is an awakening.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, 2 years ago, I described it as a crashing. I felt like I was there's something that's not okay.
Yeah.
This is not okay. I am crashing.
Yeah.
I'm in the deepest valley that I've ever been in. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It felt dark. But what I was becoming more and more aware of all the dark around me because I was growing so much closer to the light of Christ within me.
Yeah.
And as I grow towards Him, I'm more and more aware of the dark. And so I was faced with and am facing with the lies that I've believed for so long. Mm-hmm. And when we're faced to understand, become aware of, awaken to, wait, these thoughts aren't true, but it's all I've ever known.
Yeah.
And so then there's this, it's going to sound kind of crazy, but even this grieving process to walk through, to try to understand, to try to release and let go of ways in which I have become accustomed to, ways and things that I had thought were truth. Praise God they weren't truth.
Yeah.
That He had awakened me to truth, like really truth. So in the process of it, in the midst of it, when I hear the word awakening, I hear excitement or almost mountaintop or almost just, yes, that is the case. There's freedom to come. There is freedom. There is hope. And that is, I can't explain that, but even as the leaders hear it, they know the walk and this awakening to a new found freedom. Like, oh, I can rest here.
Yeah.
But in the process of getting there, it doesn't feel good,
yeah.
Which we've talked about that before, even in the context of community. Like when we think of it, we think it's going to be glorious and really beautiful. And it is, but it's really, really hard.
It's really hard. When you were talking about you're being awakened to truth, but you're also being awakened to the darkness around you. It becomes more of a reality. You can see it. You can sense it and feel it. I think about that passage in Isaiah 6. And his response in the midst of his awakening was, woe is me. Yes. Woe is me. Like, holy cow, I'm a man of unclean lips. And look around me. I'm with a people of unclean lips. Like,
yes.
I'm in trouble.
It. That's it.
I'm in trouble. That's when the Lord starts to do what he does.
What only he can do.
What only he can do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're talking about. So what it's not is what you were saying earlier. It's not a mountaintop experience, a spiritual high, if you will. It's not asking God for something to bless you with, so you can have something more, mm-hmm. other than him, more of him. I think about this passage in Colossians chapter 3. Let me just read this. Colossians 3, 1-8. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of such things, of all such things. Mm-hmm. So when an awakening happens, you become more aware of your own sin, your own darkness. And like you said earlier, it's not an easy process.
No.
So it's not a mountaintop experience where everything's going to be great, awesome, fantastic, wonderful. We say cupcakes and Skittles. No, it's yes. probably going to take us to some dark places mm-hmm. to birth life.
That's right.
Talk about that a little bit.
I think more and more, I mean, we were born here to die to ourselves, and that's what it is. So death to myself, death to ourselves is never, it's never fun. It's never easy. I'm learning to let go. And to let go of all things that maybe I'd grasped for what I thought was secure, what I thought was hope. It's letting go of all things that were false hope, false love, what I had maybe imagined it all to be. Mm-hmm. And so putting to death those things is so good. This is the immeasurable more in the freedom in which we have, in which we're offered to walk in Christ alone. But walking through the process of the only thing we've ever known, it puts us completely out of control.
Yeah.
Which no human wants to be out of control.
Yeah.
Yep.
You and I have been talking a lot lately about how, or at least me, for I've been awakened to the fact that I thought the abundant life was something different. I thought the abundant life would be this joy and peace and patience and calmness in every aspect of my life, which it is.
That's right.
When I'm resting and receiving in Christ.
Right.
But doesn't mean my circumstances are always going to be like that. So how do I respond? Mm. And usually what the Lord is doing is he's detoxing me from me. I'm dying more and more to self. And that stuff comes up to the surface mm-hmm. to be rid of. Mm-hmm. I don't think about that being the abundant life. Mm. But those are the things that lead to the abundant life.
That's right. Even as you were saying that you think the abundant life is, you know, joy and peace and all of this, it is.
It is, absolutely.
In the truest form of what joy and peace is.
That's right.
In the midst of
not what
trials.
I thought it was.
That's right.
Not
That's
what
right.
I thought it was.
That's right. And it's immeasurably more.
Yeah.
It's so much more than we could ever ask or imagine, which is the promise. And so becoming more and more awakened to the trueness of Christ in us and with us, his indwelling presence with us, around us, always. What more?
Yeah.
What more that have the dry bones come alive, these seeds that have been dormant within me through the lies to be realized so that I can live out in the truths? There's nothing more holy than that. And listen, yeah. there's nothing harder that I've journeyed through.
Yeah.
There's nothing harder.
you wouldn't ask for those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't. In fact, it was oftentimes I pray to not have those things happen, those hard times that release this abundant life. I'm almost praying for protection and for those things not to happen, but those things, when I allow them to happen, if I'm making sense,
yes.
produce the abundant life. But I just so want to hold tightly for them not to happen.
Right. A common prayer of mine, and it has been for a few years, and for those around me, is to break what needs to be broken so
yeah.
that what needs to be healed can be healed. In the name of Jesus, may it be so at yeah. all cost. And to whatever extent or need, and however long it takes to break me, God, break me at all cost. and those around me, because I know the freedom. And the only reason I know it is because it's here in His living word. Yeah. There's a promise for freedom whenever we can break from our own selves, seeking Him and Him alone in it, not allowing anything else to satisfy us except for Christ alone.
Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of His resurrection. That's what we were celebrating on Sunday. I want to know the power of His resurrection and the participation in His sufferings. That's what I don't pray for. But I'm realizing that's where the abundant life is. That's where it is. Becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
Man, that's good.
Amen.
It goes on to say in verse 12, not only that I've obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, that's for sure, but I press on, take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I think that's what we're discovering. I think that's what we're praying towards. I think that's what we're hoping for, us as individuals, us as a church, and for really our neighborhood, to be awakened to the reality of a resurrected King participating in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. That's hard to explain. It's hard to, maybe even hard to digest.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. That is really hard to digest and to think about and try to imagine. Before you had read Colossians 3, set your minds on things above. And I think that's really important for this and thinking of awakening and thinking of death and suffering. But to set our minds on the things above, to set our mind and our face back to our Savior, then that is the immeasurable more. So just as we can't imagine, and it's hard to describe the suffering part, it's the immeasurable more, the freedom. I had mentioned before that when my gaze is upon the glory upon glory instead of death upon death, then it's possible, it's feasible that this is the abundant life, finding joy in Him in the midst of suffering.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the prayer and fasting piece of this. I think we're feeling a sense of urgency, not only for us as individuals and corporately as a church, but also for our neighborhood. We've been asking really since about this time last year for us as a church to travail in prayer for our church, for our leadership, for direction, for God's way. But now more than ever, we are inviting everyone into a fasting and prayer time with a sense of urgency and audacity, with an attitude of brokenness and desperation. We are travailing in prayer. We say that a lot. And we are inviting you to pray with us in a manner that can only be described as both daring and agonizing, as Romans 8 talks about, as if the Holy Spirit Himself were groaning through us. The ordinary people of Scripture knew nothing of casual prayer, and as our faith family prays together, we are including the element of fasting this time around because we believe fasting is a biblical truth and was very much a part of the prayer life of Jesus and His disciples. And when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He didn't say, if you fast, but He said, when you fast. And so there are Scripture upon Scripture about prayer and fasting, and those go together. And I think it's really important to say, if you guys have not registered for and invited your group for Secret Church this Friday night, I really want to encourage you to do so. The whole topic, the five-hour topic of prayer and fasting and the pursuit of God is what David Platt will be talking about. And I think it's beautiful how God has orchestrated. We were planning on doing this before we knew that the Lord was leading us in this direction. So I think it's going to be a perfect introduction to where the Lord is leading us in this next season. We talked a little bit about just the importance of prayer, and I know I've had some conversations recently about prayer, and is prayer effective, and why do we pray, and does prayer change God's mind? And so I know David's going to talk a lot about that, but there's one passage in James chapter 5. Heather, would you just read that for us? I think it's really important as we head into the season, really.
Yes, James chapter 5, starting in verse 13 says, is there anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops.
Yeah, I just think that passage is so powerful in the different aspects of prayer that it's inviting us into, and the importance of it, and the importance of even confession through prayer, praise through prayer, healing through prayer, and the fact that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, and our righteousness is found in Christ alone. So prayer is powerful and effective. It is important. It is something that we want to press into more and more. We're learning more and more as a church of what it looks like to be a church, a house of prayer. That's what we're invited to be. That's a house, right, of prayer. And we're learning. We continue to learn what that looks like for us.
That's right.
In order to help us pray together in unity, we've created for this message series a daily prayer guide. This guide will be available on Sunday. You can pick it up on your way out from our gathering on Sunday. And it'll also be on our app. It'll be one of the tiles on the main home screen of our app. And you'll notice a few simple elements included in this time. And so beginning April 28th, you can be guided through this this prayer guide. And it'll have a short passage of scripture. It'll have a brief devotional thought. It'll have personal prayer prompts to help you connect in your time with God. And it'll have a prayer for a unique list of names that will be in this prayer guide that you can pray through. Those are people in our faith family, people at Hayes Elementary, mm-hmm. things like that. So I just want to encourage you as group leaders to somehow incorporate this, whether you're doing this as a study, as part of your groups, or if you're in something like a DMD or your life group is studying something different. We want this to somehow be incorporated into your group time. I think it's important to hear from each other. Invite everybody into this time of prayer and fasting corporately, and to hear from each other what we're hearing from God, what we're learning from God in this time together. Heather, do you have anything to add as you think about us entering into a season of prayer and fasting?
I'm expectant, really expectant of what the Lord has done and what He is doing and is still doing. Just to think of prayer, not for a certain thing. We talked about that a little bit earlier, of just no thing, just you alone, Lord, you alone. Seeking, I think I said this before, seeking His face, not His hand, just literally seeking to become awakened and realize the presence of the Lord is with us and is for us. I thought of this scripture too in Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And may that be so. May we seek Him with all of our heart.
I would just love if we heard from a group or two, if not all of them, of, hey, we just took this our group time mm-hmm. where we would normally talk, and we just prayed together.
Just prayed.
Or we just sat in the presence of God mm-hmm. and just were present in His presence.
Amen.
So we'll all figure that out as a church over this
together.
Next 30 days. And like you said, we're expectant. And it may be something crazy, amazing, something that visual that we can see, or it may be something really simple. Mm-hmm. It may be a small seed. Mm-hmm. Either way, we are believing in faith, trusting mm-hmm. in hope that God is doing something exceedingly and abundantly mm-hmm. more than we could ask or imagine.
Amen.
And we're trusting that this little corner of Mars Hill and Due West will be a city on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a place where a truth and light radiate from, and it radiates not from a building, mm-hmm. but from a people.
That's right. His people.
His people. So thank you for being willing to jump in to this with us. We really, really want to just ask all of our leaders to commit to this time, this next 30 days with us, and invite your groups into it. And we look forward to hearing from you. We want to hear from you what the Lord's saying, what He's doing, what's going on inside of you as you seek His face, as you seek Him and His righteousness. And so keep keep talking with us, keep communicating us. We love when we hear feedback from these podcasts, when we hear from you guys, whether it's an encouraging word or it's a challenge in them. We love hearing that, so we invite you to continue the conversation with us. Heather, would you just close us in a time of prayer and just maybe pray over our group leaders as they lead themselves, their families, and their groups over this next season of prayer and fasting?
Sure. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Father, because we are your chosen vessels and that your love reigns and that your love wins. We praise you, Father, that you call us higher still, that you call us deeper still, to a realization that you are with us and that you are for us. Thank you, Father, that you desire for us to have eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you, Father, that you place in us a new heart and have given us a new spirit, Lord, so that we can hear you. Lord, thank you that you give us this holy privilege just to live in this posture of worship and prayer and communion with you. Father, we lift up this body, we lift up these leaders, and we just ask boldly in the name of Jesus, Father, for you to awaken us, Father, that we may be a people, that these leaders, that their families, Father, would be a people in full belief of the truth that you are who you say you are, and that they are who you say that they are chosen, that they are loved, that they are blessed, and that they are highly favored. Lord, I pray that these leaders and their families would live in a confidence of you within them and around them. Lord, we ask for blessings over them. God, may you bless their homes. May legions of angels surround them, Father. May they sense your love wrapped around them and your grace abounding over them. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you next month.